We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a dynamite Wednesday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here. Asking you to download that radio.com app because, well, we know you want to listen to the radio station and you're not in your vehicle as often, so make sure you always have that downloaded and ready to go. Put that on one of your devices, like your smartphone. You have Alexa speakers. You got a tablet. You probably got a turntable. Maybe you got a boombox or a Walkman or a Sega Genesis or an Xbox or a Commodore 64. Just download it onto some kind of device. That way, you can always catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on those platforms. As always, the best way to be on our show and part of it and communicate to us, if you will. That's through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. You can hit it up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, is all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown producing the show. As always, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. This, of course, is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So, man, hard to believe that we are cranking up toward the start of training camp in the NFL. And, you know, it's amazing, too, because there's still so many questions about how this is all going to work itself out. And, you know, we were talking with Jarvis, you know, earlier about, you know, how the media is going to get treated during all this. Just so many things that we don't know, you know, about it. And then you obviously get to the on-the-field things. You get to the things on the field about what's going to happen. And, you know, one of those guys in the forefront is Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was on Odell Beckham's podcast or something. I forget what they called it. Like Gridiron something podcast or whatever. But he was talking about how he said, quote, "I'm not even going to lie. I haven't worked out this much in my life." Now, we've seen some of the videos and things like that about what Todd Gurley is doing to get himself ready, you know, in the off season. And I think for us Falcons fans, I think there are so many things about this story that favor what's going to happen on the field this year. What I mean by that is, you know, number one, I think that Todd is playing with a chip on his shoulder, that the Rams, after giving him that big contract, were willing to move on from him and go a different direction. Okay, I do think as well, you know, playing at home. You know, while I understand he's not born and raised, you know, here, but played his college ball at the University of Georgia. You know, obviously got a chance to, you know, see the Falcons, you know, during his time here in Athens. So, you know, kind of a homecoming, you know, certainly playing in an area where, you know, in a building, too, that, you know, in his college years he had a chance to play in as well. So, you know, I think there's a lot of factors about what Todd Gurley can be this year for this particular team. And, you know, we continue to harp on the idea of I don't need him to be drastically better. You know, would I love to see the old Todd Gurley? Could you imagine, honestly, imagine if Todd Gurley got back to being 1,250 yards and 15 touchdowns rushing and 50 catches out of the backfield. I'm telling you, in all honesty, he'd be up for the MVP award because this offense would be dynamic. If they had a legitimate 1,200-yard, 15-touchdown running back, smack dab in the middle of Matt and Julio and Ridley and Hurst and Treadwell and Gage and their offensive line being healthy and coming together. If they had that guy in the middle of all the things that, you know, we think they can be offensively, think about how dominant of an offense they can be. You know, they because they had two kind of lead guys, if you will, in 2016 in that great offensive season, the Super Bowl year, you know, they didn't have necessarily just one guy. You know, Freeman, I think, was the main guy with, you know, Tevin Coleman kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe 1B. Certainly had the ability to be an RB1, you know, in the league, and we're seeing some of the fruits of that when we get into, you know, what he's done in San Francisco and such. But, you know, still Freeman kind of that lead dog in this whole thing. He had a good year of the 1,000 yards and I think 10 touchdowns rushing. But think about what 12 or 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns would look like in this offense. Would be crazy to think. Be crazy to think about how good this offense could be if you had a guy that could be like that. So do I expect that out of Todd Gurley? No, I don't. I mean, I think my expectations aren't low. I don't think he's going to be 600 yards and 4 touchdowns or something. I don't think he's going to be that. But I think if he's realistically around 900 yards and he could be 12 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, okay. If you told me he got 900 yards and 11 touchdowns at the end of the season, I'd take that. You know, would that be considered one of his better years? No. Would that be, you know, one of his lesser years, maybe the worst year of his career? Maybe. But because this is still a pass-heavy first team, I don't know that you still couldn't have a lot of productivity in this offense for something like that. So NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, of course, a couple of former NFL scouts, they were on the Move the Sticks podcast. Any idea what the Move the Sticks podcast is? There are so many of these podcasts that honestly, like when I start reading through all of them, like steam starts coming out of my ears because I can't keep up with all of it. But Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were talking, they had a little Falcons talk going on. And they were talking about A.J. Terrell and why they think that he'll be a major asset to the Falcons. Jeremiah saying, quote, they ended up getting a big, tall, long, athletic corner in A.J. Terrell. A little bit earlier than I had him graded, but I had him as a first-round player. He was in that mix. It wasn't a huge reach. When you look inside that division specifically, when you look at what you have to deal with in Tampa, what you have to deal with in Mike Thomas in New Orleans, having a big corner is not just a nice thing, it's a necessity. That fits the bill there for the Falcons. Okay. Now, Bucky Brooks emphasized how important the cornerback position is in the NFC South. Quote, you have to have guys that can play man-to-man, but they also have to be physical enough to hold up against those big bodies that dominate within the division. And look, we all have our thoughts about what A.J. Terrell will or can't be. You know, is he a very good player? Yes. Was he worthy of the 16th pick in the draft? I don't know. I mean, you had several guys at corner that kind of fit within that bill. You know, do I wish the Falcons maybe traded up to go get, whether it was Okuda, who signed his contract, by the way, or C.J. Henderson? Yeah, probably. I mean, I would have had those two guys as my top two corners. But it's not like they grabbed a fourth-round pick to bring him in here. Matthew Tabeek talking about, of course, from the Falcons.com, talking about the pick. I think when you draft a player in the top half of the first round with the 16th overall pick, you're expecting that player to come in and make an immediate impact, meaning start. You don't draft a guy that high to be standing on the sidelines when the season kicks off. You don't draft a guy that high to be playing on special teams or in nickel packages only. No, the Falcons drafted A.J. Terrell come and start. Put another way, if he isn't starting, people will question the pick. That depends, though. That depends. Because would I be mad if the Falcons went and signed a veteran cornerback that's a legitimate NFL starter because we haven't had a real offseason, because we may have a condensed camp, because we may have a condensed preseason? Would I be mad if they went and signed a veteran corner to start and start the season along with Isaiah Oliver? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And I understand that that flies in the face of everything that being the 16th pick of the draft is supposed to be, but when you look at that position and how difficult it is to come into the NFL and transition in that position, when you look at all of the circumstances of what's happening, you know, in this, you know, in this new world of, you know, we don't get, it's all virtual off season, and you know, we're doing KAV OTAs, right? When you got all of those factors that are coming in, you know, to play, and you're not getting on field work, and you're not spending on field with coaches, and you may not have a long training camp, and you're going to get a reduced preseason for all of it. When you have all of that factor going in to things, then, you know, let's face it, it's going to be tough for that position to come in and play and start right away. Could be tough for a guy like that to come in and make an immediate impact. So I still say I wouldn't be upset if the Falcons went and got themselves a legitimate starting corner, and Terrell didn't necessarily start right away. Or maybe he plays in the slot. You know, maybe he's their nickel guy. But not necessarily putting him out wide and saying, okay, young buck, you're the number one corner on this team. Go get him, son. I'm not sure that does him any good. You know, trial by fire is one thing, but, you know, throwing him, you know, in the middle of a pack of wolves that are going to eat his lunch is another. All right, Pro Football Focus taking a look at some fantasy football things. They did this to wide receivers. They were breaking down NFL wide receivers that are projected to go over 1,000 yards in 2020. So it says the 2019 season was remarkably productive for NFL wide receivers. 25 wide receivers cracked 1,000 receiving yards, the most in a season since 2001. Say PFF Data's science team designed a machine learning algorithm built upon PFF's exclusive player data to create a season-long fantasy football projection. The model projects a sizable 23 wide receivers that will surpass 1,000 yards in 2020. And they put them into groups. So the first group is locks for 1,000 receiving yards. And they break each group down, not just into those individual groups, but, you know, they also have the wide receivers' projected totals, okay? Julio Jones comes in at 1,628 yards as his projected yardage total. That would be number one overall in the NFL. Quote, the efficiency metric of yards per route run may as well be named after Julio. He has led all wide receivers in that category in 5 of the last 7 years and has never ranked outside the top 5. Jones and Thomas were the only players to have more than 40 catches of at least 15 yards last season. Book it. So they say that Julio Jones will lead the NFL in receiving yards. Michael Thomas, by the way, is number 2 outed. He's a lock to make 1,000 yards, obviously, when you look at these numbers out there. No real surprise. Would anybody be surprised if Julio Jones leads the league in yardage? No. What if Julio Jones led the league in touchdown? Now, that would be the surprise, right? Let's face it. I mean, Julio's not had the worst touchdown numbers. You know, some years have been better than others. But if he found a way to actually get, you know, 10 touchdowns, that would be the stat that would be wonderful to see. Should go over 1,000 receiving yards is the next group after locks. Calvin Ridley with 1,066. One of the fantasy community's favorite breakout candidates, Ridley, is primed to reach 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. Atlanta's passing offense is going to run through its two outside wide receivers. Ryan has a league-high 537 pass attempts to outside wide receivers since 2018. Let me repeat that. Matt Ryan has a league-high 537 pass attempts to outside wide receivers since 2018. 72 more than anyone else. Still, the possibility of Julio hogging too many targets is a potential roadblock to reaching 1,000 yards. It's not, though. Ridley wasn't even a number two wide receiver for half the year, and had he not have gotten injured, would have been a 1,000-yard wide receiver. We'll go back to my discussion months ago of look at the targets, look at the numbers, look at what the Falcons did after they traded Mohamed Sanu and where he was headed. Listen, had he have played the last three games, he would have been a 1,000-yard wide receiver. He was on pace to be 1,000-yard wide receiver, and the idea of him necessarily, quote-unquote, breaking out this year versus last year wouldn't have even been talked about with all of this. So he'll be a 1,000-yard wide receiver, and I expect big things from Ridley this year. He might be the guy to get for your touchdowns and things like that out of the wide receiver position. All right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. Positive results from vaccine testing. Oh, yeah, put a few bucks in Daddy's pocket today. We needed this day. We'll talk about that next, plus got some other stories for you. It is the John Chakra Show. Hanging out. Dynamite Wednesday. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on the John Chakra Show. 9:22 on a Wednesday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That, of course, is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there at 929TheGame on social media, at JMCH316 on my Twitter handle, at JarvisD90 on his, and, of course, the radio.com app is how you listen to the radio station outside of your vehicle. All right, a few things to get into. So because there have been some positive testing results through some of these vaccines that they're working on for COVID-19, boy, the market reacted today. And I will tell you, it was one of those Jarvis good feelings like all day long, man. There was never any real letdowns or doubts or anything today. You know, I think I picked up 4% today in the portfolio. I had several things that went 11, 12, 15, 17% gains today. EVRI was back up today. I'll tell you one, Jarvis, did you invest in U.S. Foods when we talked about that?
Yep, I was on it. I jumped in on it.
Okay. Yeah, because they had a real nice jump again today. I think they were finally up over $21 today when they closed for it. So some really nice things that happened, you know, on the market today. Boeing had a nice day. Delta and Carnival. I don't know. And here's the crazy thing. I don't know what was spurring the cruise lines, because all three cruise lines from pre-market all the way through had big days today. They were all rolling right along. For whatever reason, the cruise lines just kept on rolling. You know, they were having a good day today. So I'll take it, man. When Boeing, Carnival, and Delta, when those three things do well, Daddy's portfolio does well. So we, man, it'd be nice to have a few more of those kinds of days out there. It'd be nice to have a few of those days just to keep going, you know. End the month strong in July. Man, I'm still looking for that hit, man. Speaking of hits, this is a fascinating story. Now, understand, I'm going to preface this story with the caveat of it's not 100% apples to apples, okay? There are some reasons for this, and there are differences in this, okay? But I'm just going to kind of give you the cursory numbers, okay? When this year started, okay, in 2020, Warren Buffett, we all heard of Warren Buffett, right? Berkshire Hathaway and all that, the multi-billionaire. Okay, Warren Buffett had a net worth of about $60 billion more than Elon Musk, okay? So Elon Musk is the guy who has Tesla, right? He's the SpaceX, right? He's got the SpaceX rocket that went up and all that, okay? So obviously most people know him for Tesla. But Elon Musk came into 2020 $60 billion in net worth behind Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway, right? Okay. As of Friday, Elon Musk had passed Warren Buffett for most net worth. Now, like I said, there are a lot of other factors, too much to get into, charitable donations, public versus private on some things. There's a lot of factors that go into into where those numbers are coming from. If, you know, if Buffett hadn't given so much of his money away to charity, his net worth would be a lot more and this, that, and the other. But he did, and it's still, you know, the number's the number, right? Okay, but there's lots of plenty of reasons why all of this has gone down. But think about that. Jarvis, imagine this. Imagine that you are $60 billion behind a guy in net worth, and on July 10th, you've passed that guy. Is that having a good year? Is that having a good year? Do you understand that when Elon Musk opened his pie hole about the value of Tesla stock, which at the time was, I don't know, it was around 800, okay? It was around 800 bucks. Somewhere between 750 and 800 bucks was the value of Tesla stock. And he was out running his mouth that this is way too high, that this shouldn't be trading this high. We're not more than a $400 stock, okay? And remember, it took a hit. It lost like $100-something. You realize Tesla's trading for almost $1,600 now? Realize that they're trading for almost $1,600. They may be over it. I didn't even look today what Tesla closed at. Jarvis, can you check real quick what Tesla closed at today on the market? What their final number was they closed at today? But think about that. Since he opened his pie hole and buried his own company, their stock price has doubled. Doubled. You could have bought Tesla IPO stock for like $17.99 14 years ago, I think it was 06. 06, 07 when he went public.
You ready for this, Chuck?
Think about that. What
you
is
ready
it?
For this?
Yeah.
$1,510. Closed at $1,510 a day.
$1,510. It was less than $800 a few months ago when he said, oh yeah, we're way overvalued. When he shot his pile off and the stock tanked.
His 52-week low was $211, by the way.
Could you imagine buying at $211? Can you imagine?
Absolutely amazing.
Could you imagine if you'd have sunk $5,000 into that stock at $211? That would have been what? Like 20? Let's just say, rough math, 25 shares of that. Think about
that.
Think about 25 shares at $1,300 growth. What's 25 times 1,300? What's the math on that? 25 times 1,300, Jarvis. Let's see what the math is on that.
It's up 500% within the last year. In the last three months, it's up over 110%. So
it's crazy.
Pretty damn good.
1,300 by 20. Just in the last few months, if you'd have bought it at its low and cashed it out today, you'd be somewhere around $32,500 worth of growth margin in that thing. And that's if you just bought 25 shares. Imagine if you'd have dropped $20,000 into Tesla. How much your portfolio would be worth? It'd be worth what? A couple hundred thousand? God almighty. And think about it. He IPO'd that stock at like $17.99 or something ridiculous. Man. I'm telling you, man. See, this is why, you know, trust me, I'll fight anybody on this. Nobody in America is working more and longer to have less than old Chuck Reed, that's for sure. I do not have the magic formula when it comes to figuring out how to earn money, man. I don't have that magic bullet for figuring out how to earn sizable money. That's for sure. Now, we were talking about this a little bit with Alicia Roberts earlier on the show. I mentioned the fact that Walmart has announced mandatory mask wearing in their stores. Let me ask you a question. How do you think that's going to go? Now, I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I don't really care. I've been kind of wearing my mask wherever we go. If we're going into Publix or other stores, I've been doing the mask thing, okay? Just try to be respectful and do what we got to do, and let's get through this, okay? How do you think that's going to go? Think about when you get into some of these backwoods areas and you get these country bumpkin backwoods biscuit eaten overall wearing toothless, you know, coon's cap wearing hillbillies out there screaming. They scream and fight and holler now at Walmart. Imagine what's going to happen with mandatory mask wearing in Walmart. And of course, you got every Joe Bag of Donuts, you know, Johnny Come Goomba lately, that's got their phone camera out, and they got a video, and they got to put everything on the social media, you know, the Snap Face, and the Insta chatting, and the FaceGram, and the Tic Tac, and the Flip Flop, and the Zip Zap, and they got a, you know, Rooma Doom Zoom, you know, and they got all this stuff going on, okay? How you think that's going to go? How many videos on Twitter a day are we going to see of some goofball arguing and fighting about their mask or whatever like that? Honestly. I mean, you want to talk about, I'm not sure if it's a good thing or it's good for the public safety and health, okay? It's probably good for social media even more, because think about how many, what are they, Jarvis, memes and GIFs and videos and stuff are going to get plastered all over social media because Walmart's going to require masks. I mean, some of those people, they're going to have pitchforks and torches about the idea of wearing a mask in Walmart. Some of these country bumpkin, hillbilly, backwoods, biscuit-eating, corn-shucking, you know, four-toothed, catfish-fishing goofballs that are going to be over there screaming and hollering about how this is America and we don't have to wear a mask. Ugh. If you thought your brain was fried before all of this, wait till they start putting out the videos of the people who refuse to wear a mask in Walmart and then the goofballs who confront them about it. Because that's how it happens, is somebody wants to be famous. Let me confront this person without a mask in Walmart and I'll make myself famous on social media because I'll get 500,000 views of some backwoods goofball hillbilly that says, I ain't wearing no damn mask. Here's America. Ugh. Shoot me now or Calgon take me away now for all of this kind of stuff. But that's where we're at. I guess we need some kind of entertainment relief in the middle of all of this. So the non-mask wearing people that will be walking through Walmart yelling and screaming and hollering and fighting. Dude, they're already pushing people around in Walmarts. When somebody comes up and stuff, they're already doing that now. Now they got to wear a mask. Oy. All right, when we get back, Josh Alper joined us earlier in the show. Of course, writer for ProFootballTalk.com. Get his thoughts about what's going on around the NFL. It is the John Chuckwood Show, hanging out on a Dynamite Wednesday. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on your Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.